Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, this is Marek Larwood.
Hello, film lovers, or podcast lovers.
One or the other, you've got to be, or people who hate themselves.
Yeah, I wonder where you are. You might be listening down the gym, you might be listening from prison. Can you download podcasts in prison?
I don't know if you're allowed headphones in prison. I would have thought they'd be a strangle hazard,
yeah. So maybe we're being played in a prison, but the people next door can hear this being recorded and they really hate it.
We've just been broadcast over the exercise yard.
Yeah.
That's a nice feeling.
Or at shower time. It's something that calms, in case there are any untoward, because a lot of male people, especially younger people, I'm not saying all prisoners are young people, can get quite het up in prison. They need something to calm them.
They do.
So I think the sound of my voice being played out.
I think so. Just hang on in there, keep your head down, and the time will pass very quickly.
And you may be really frustrated, but don't do anything you're going to regret later on, because you're going to have to live with that. You might have sudden urges or impulses now, but your actions will live with you forever. Okay, prisoners?
Okay. Anyway. And go, prisoners! Right. As we promised last week, we're going to discuss one of the Oscar-nominated films the Oscar nominations came out last week. Marek, you've been to see 12 Years a Slave.
Yes. I went to see, it is 12 Years a Slave. Danielle Ward, our former host, and we're guessing before, because she saw it in America when it came out earlier.
Yes.
But it's come out in the UK in 2014. It is sort of the front runner, I think, for the Oscar winners. And the sort of cynic in me says it's always going to be something like an issue of slavery is almost foregone conclusion. It's going to get nominated.
Yes, but we shouldn't be prejudiced against a film about that topic just because it a lesser filmmaker would push buttons that way anyway. But Steve McQueen seems to have actually done things that interest him so far. I mean, Shame isn't an Oscar bait film.
I love Shame. I was a huge fan of it. I found it really. I saw an interview with Steve McQueen, and he tried to make you think. He's saying how he thinks the film was a medium should make you move you and have some effect on you.
Yeah.
Some of my friends have watched this film, and it has sort of had mixed reviews. And I read one of my friends who wrote on Facebook, the great thing about it was the simplicity of this film. And the real horror itself is that there's no build-up to the horror. Whereas if you look at Django Unchained, the other end of the spectrum,
yeah,
which is Quentin Tarantino doing some quite ridiculous...
Well, his is a sort of comic book movie set during slavery, isn't
it?
It's a sort of exploitation comic book film. Nothing to do with slavery, really.
Yeah, so the brief story is, the synopsis is, I can never say his name, the actor, he's a musician.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yes, plays the lead, who is sort of quite moderately wealthy, a black man who works as a musician. His family, so he's got his own house, he lives in an area, I can't remember the name of the area, where there doesn't seem to be much racism, where equality is allowed. It's not sort of the deep south. He gets conned by two men while his family go away to playing a violin for this sort of gig, basically. and he's drugged and then taken into slavery and can't escape. And it's taken basically down south,
right.
South America, and brutalised, not told his name, otherwise he would get killed. And it's his experience of 12 years in slavery. The most horrifying thing about this film is the normality of it. The way, one of the biggest things was when he was just walking to the shops, and it's not really a spoiler, he walks through the woods and encounters two black slaves being hung by the workers. It comes out of nowhere, because that's how it was. And he gets into a fight with one of his masters, and yet the other slaves can't do anything because they're so scared. They carry on in the background. That's what's horrific. While something's happening to him, the other slaves cannot intervene. So they're just used as just tools in some of the masters are quite a psychopath. What's his name?
Michael Fassbender.
Fassbender plays a sort of evil, pretty much a psychopath in it with his wife, who's crazy, but because they rule their own
plantation,
they set up this sort of almost like dictatorship of whatever they, no matter how crazy they are and how odd their behaviour is, that is seen as justifiable because they own the place. So it's fascinating in those terms. There's a couple of great moments. It's not an enjoyable film. It's a more educational film.
Well, some people have levelled the accusation at it of being misery porn, as they've called it. Which I can imagine people levelling at any film that made them uncomfortable. Of going, well, why am I watching this? A film is supposed to be entertainment. Do you think it's gratuitous for the sort of middle-class guilt film, or is it actually telling a story that needs to be told because it isn't in the mainstream?
Has it been told before?
Not really. I mean, Schindler's List is, you know, the Holocaust has been done a lot, and slavery not so much.
And that's what it reminded me of in an odd way, the feel of Schindler's List.
Because I think Spielberg, after Schindler's List, tried to do a slavery film with Amistad, which is overly sort of cloying and sentimental.
Mm.
And, you know, which doesn't do that period of history any justice by fictionalising it before you've shown it.
Yeah.
You know? But no, I mean, do you think it could win the Oscar? Do you think it's likely to? It feels like the only important film on that list, apart from maybe Gravity for the special effects and everything. But
of what I've seen so far, Captain Phillips I enjoy the most on the list. And I still haven't seen Philomena, Her, Dallas Buyers Club, or The Wolf of Wall Street, or Nebraska, because the list is quite long, so I've got a few to see.
Nebraska is a lovely little film. I don't think it's worthy of being heralded as the greatest film of the year at all, but I did really enjoy it. From what I've heard about Dallas Buyers Club, I've heard is sort of...
I've seen the trailer, and Matthew McConaughey, he's been nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
Even from the trailer, it looks...
Incredible.
His performance looks amazing.
Incredible. I mean, he's sort of really coming into his own, really.
Yeah,
mad performances. But that one feels possibly tipped, just, again, a bit Oscar-baity in terms of its subject matter.
Yeah.
Well,
12 Years a Slave, I didn't walk out... It was more of a slow-burner film in terms of... I talked about this before... When you leave the cinema, some films think that's great. This film, I wasn't overly impressed, and maybe I've read a bit about it, and maybe I've understood it a bit more. Yeah.
How is Chiwetel in it? Is he good?
He's good, but...
Because I'm trying to think if I've seen him in anything else other than Children of Men he's in.
I've seen him quite a few bits and bobs. I think he's not someone who blows me away with his screen presence. Benedict Cumberbatch is in it as more... He's a sort of the... He owns a plantation which Chiwetel is sent to originally, but he's sort of a nicer owner. I can't believe he's anything but Sherlock Holmes and that character. So see him do a southern accent is quite odd, because you're so used to his voice is so synonymous with him.
Well, he's got such a good voice as well.
Yeah,
people commented on it after Star Trek Into Darkness, where he's just, when you get the proper cinema speakers and Benedict Cumberbatch's voice. It's wonderful.
He almost become an English look as well.
He's become such a sort of institution. I mean, people, you know, as far as I can tell, since Matt Smith left Doctor Who, all of that fan love has been heaped on Benedict Cumberbatch.
I think it's weird. Doctor Who, Sherlock Holmes, it feels like the same programme.
Well, same writer.
Yeah. Anyway, but I don't think it's I think it's a good film. I wouldn't watch it again if it was on TV. It's not one of those films I go, oh, you must watch this.
Did you see The Passion of the Christ when that...
No.
Came out. No, me neither. Again, didn't appeal at all. 12 Years a Slave appeals more, but I'd really have to be in the right mood to go, yeah, I'm going to go see that now, because just from all the reports I've heard that it's harrowing. You know, it's a harrowing experience.
A lot of the Oscar films don't seem to, like last year, Zero Dark Thirty, didn't particularly enjoy that. Lincoln, I said last week, I thought was terrible.
Yeah.
The best film I saw on that list by a long shot was Beast of Southern Wild, which was... an independent film.
Yeah.
We wasn't talked about. That was miles better than anything else on there. These aren't really films that you... maybe not ones that you really enjoy. American Hustle wasn't amazingly enjoyable. Captain Phillips was. I think it will get the... it just feels like it's... that... It feels it fits... I think it will win Oscars. And the biggest competitor might be American Hustle at the moment, which I don't think either of these films were films that really moved me or made me things I go back to in years and say that's a classic.
Well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, if the ingredients are right, that's still not enough. It has to move you in some way, in any way, like literally anyway. It doesn't need to be sort of entertaining per se, but it's got to move you to be a good piece of cinema.
But it's the films that you walk out of and think, I want to watch that again. Or the first time happened to me is when I watched Seven at the cinema.
Yeah.
And I was so amazed by that, I went to go and see it again a week later. And The Usual Suspects as well. I mean, this is me when I'm in my early 20s, so I've got different tastes, but they're still great films. I was blown away by them. The last one that blew me away properly at the cinema, Blue's Warmest Colour, and the year before that, I thought Drive is a classic as well. Really blew me away.
Sort of lower budget, smaller films.
I almost want the Oscar winners to give me that feeling you strive for when you go to cinema. A bit like The Impossible, we spoke about that before. When you left that, you felt so... I felt moved. And I felt all these emotions.
I felt I'd gone on a journey through what I felt and what, you know... The tension and the release of watching that film.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I don't feel for... For instance, watching Gravity, I really enjoyed the special effects. My heart wasn't in my mouth wondering whether she'd get through it or whatever. It was more like watching a sort of beautiful painting.
Mm.
You know, the story... I could see the strings moving at all times, if you know what I mean. Like, the magic spell never took hold.
Yeah.
You know, I could see it happening before my eyes.
I don't know whether we've watched more films, but I don't know.
Maybe that's got to be part of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You lose your innocence at it and you're looking for different things, but...
You still remember those magic moments, and one of mine was when I'm from the Isle of Wight, I was brought up there, which is a small island just off... Portsmouth, for anyone, our listeners in Iceland or Guatemala or abroad, and there was a terrible cinema which was now you would just about be able to call that a big screen in an electronic retailer. It was a converted warehouse not a proper full screen cinema,
right?
And I went to go and watch Terminator 2 on a hot summer's day. And there was no one else there. It was me and my friend sitting in the middle of the cinema with our feet over the aisles watching Terminator 2.
Wow.
And it was an 8. I think we must have just turned... I don't know if we were... I think we might have even been like 17 or something. I think it is an 18, Terminator 2, isn't it? Maybe it was a 15.
There's some grubby stuff in there.
Yeah, we weren't 18. And that was an absolute... That was a great cinema film, to have cinema experience.
Their third one, my God, did they...
But that's what I want the Oscars to be. You go there and think that is great. Yeah.
Well, films of 2014. Hear Marek's warning and pull your socks up.
Maybe we should raise our expectations for all these films now once they've got the Oscar nomination there.
Yeah, I'd like to see Dallas Buyers Club. That does intrigue me.
Yeah, so we will be going to see these films over the next few weeks.
Hopefully.
So we can give you the Oscar lowdown. Let us know what you think is going to win the Oscar. How can people let us know?
You can email us your predictions. We could even have a competition for anyone who gets them right, couldn't we?
Yeah, competition, and you win our respect.
Our respect? Well, you know, we can make a certificate that we can put on Facebook for you to print out.
Let's do that then.
All right. Fine. Just made up a competition. It's happening. Okay. You can email us your predictions for the Oscars. Let's say in the main categories of best film, best director, best actor and best actress. Try and guess. And best supporting actor and best supporting actress. Yeah?
That's good. That's six, isn't it?
That's six. So, email us your predictions, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, and if anyone gets all of them right, then you will win a certificate, seal of approval by Film Fandango, official merchandise.
Wow.
I know.
And if you don't win it, you can always just print it out and do Photoshop.
Change your name. I mean, I'll have made it on Photoshop, so it'll be easily doctored.
Can you watermark it so only that person can...
Yeah, I'll watermark it with your face if you like.
Oh, great. Perfect. So you can contact us. Also, you can follow us on Twitter individually
at Film Fandango, or go to facebook.com/Film Fandango,
and or at Mr. David Reed or at Marek Glarwood.
Those are the addresses. Yes, send us your Oscar nominations. We'll see if everyone has the same guesses. We'll do it as well. We'll play along.
Yeah,
we will have an Oscars episode as well when everything is announced.
Hey, guess what? Here's an email. Someone's emailed in.
Okay, this is from Luke Compton. Hi, Dave and Marek. Long-time listener, first-time writer. First of all, Marek, I'm so surprised how good your movie taste is. And it's awesome that you love Drive and liked Only God Forgives. What do you both think was the most disappointing film of 2013? And on the flip side, what was the biggest surprise?
Did we read this out before?
No.
I did like Only God Forgives. And why are you surprised that I've got a good movie taste?
Well, he goes on to say, P.S. I don't understand the Man of Steel hate, Dave. It's David to you. It had a great story, brilliant development, great effects, charismatic performances, and a brilliant score, LJ Compton.
See, what he's done here, Miss LJ Compton, is he's given you a stupid voice so that he looks like your opinion's bad. So you are thinking, I've got a good taste.
That was my cowboy voice.
Come on.
That was my cool cowboy voice.
Biggest disappointment of 2013?
Man of Steel.
I'm going back to Lincoln. I think as it came out, that was one of the worst. I'm banging on about the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I thought Man of Steel was complete dreck.
Good surprise?
Surprise. The Heat, actually.
Yes, that's a good one.
Great film.
That was a really good big surprise. Yes. Hey, guess what? There's another email.
Do you want to read that one?
Yeah, it's from Anne Coletta.
Anne Coletta.
Dear Film Fandango, have you had a show of sidekicks? If you've done best sidekicks, you could do worst sidekicks. How about trios? How would the three amigos stand up to the good, the bad and the ugly? Kirk, Spock and McCoy versus the dude, Walter and Donnie. Before now, I haven't suggested an accent. That changed after episode 112. In future, all correspondence to me should be read as follows. Marek Larwood with a man making a pot noodle in his mouth. David Reed in the voice of Chris Webb. Daniel Ward, if guest hosting, must communicate by only using the words noisy blackberries. There's someone, Anne, who's actually listened to some of our podcasts.
She's basically just listing our catchphrases if we had them.
Chris Webb's our regular listener who's stopped writing in since we've bullied him. He's probably gone on some other podcast. And the pot noodle reference is a reference to a show I made called Marek's Viral Videos when I tried to get a viral hit. I put a lot of work into it. No one's really watched the show or watched the virals.
I've watched it. It's very good.
Watch them on YouTube. If you just look up Marek Large, you can follow me on that. I'm plugging myself.
It's good. It's good.
Would the three amigos, they just get killed by the good, the bad and the ugly?
Well, yeah, the three amigos are fake sort of... Mexican bandits, whereas the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly are actual bandits, aren't they?
Yeah.
Good, the Bad, and the Ugly win. Kirk, Spock, and McCoy beat the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly because they have space weaponry.
But it's Kirk, Spock, and McCoy versus Big Lebowski, isn't it?
Ooh.
The dude, Walter and Donnie.
Well, Walter would shoot Spock in the face really quickly.
This is what films are going to be like in about 50 years' time when they run out of remakes and they have to do...
When Marvel opens the floodgates and manages to do X-Men versus the Avengers or something, all hell will break loose and we'll have Zorro versus Robin Hood and we'll have, you know, Garfield versus the Ghostbusters.
It's incredible. On an interesting note as well, yeah, my friend Paul Allen, a friend of the show, he was telling me about, I can't find the article, about the what's got the longest average shot length in modern Hollywood.
Oh.
What film has got the longest average shot length?
What, as in big film? Or?
Yeah, well, it's Rope, which has pretty much got three cuts in it.
Yeah.
But we were talking about this, the shot length. Apparently, it's gone down. I can't find the article. Apologies for this. But
well, look for it again and stick it on our Facebook
page.
Yeah,
but it's gone down from about... The average shot length over the past 30 or 40 years has decreased almost like fourfold, I think. So you'd have it like a 7 or 8. Every shot would be like 7 or 8 seconds. Yeah. Now it's like 2 seconds, less than a second, because our attention span has gone and changed the very face of filmmaking.
And I think the ability to tell a story has probably gone down with that. Because yeah, rather than they're cutting rather than holding on the faces, holding on the point of interest. They're just cutting to something else. It's not all doom and gloom. People are still making good films. But I think it's definitely a thing where... If you held on that face a bit longer, would that we might actually start to really empathise with the character. Or, you know, it's an amazing thing. I've got the Criterion edition of Brazil, one of my favourite films, big Terry Gilliam fan, and that comes with the TV edit where it's edited down to a 90-minuter, and basically all of the holding on anything is cut. So it's cut down to the most basic thing. If someone says a line of dialogue, they'd probably include that. But then it's just, they move there, it goes there, it goes there. And it becomes a shapeless, unengaging mess of a film.
It's interesting, we were both work as actors and sort of comedians in my part, increasingly less in television. But when you write a script over here, for listening abroad, you've got some main channels, which is BBC One, and the average show is 28 minutes. On Channel 4, because the adverts, the average half an hour section is 23 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it always goes over.
The international slot length is 11-minute slots. So your shows are either 11 minutes, some kids' shows are 11 minutes long, then 22 minutes for things like The Simpsons, and then if you have sort of a more drama or something, it'll be 30. You know,
but what happens is it gets cut down, so we become... I wonder whether it's... This enforced model of length that has changed the way that TV is edited.
Definitely.
And that has somehow informed our watching habits.
Yeah. Well, we still think of shows as being half-hour episodes when actually they're 8 minutes shorter than that.
But this has just spread, this whole cutting it down to fit in this section has spread onto film made us our, you know... It's very, what I found fascinating when I watched a documentary. My name is Marek. It's a Polish name. I'm not at all Polish. I even look like I'm Polish. I'm not Polish. I'm named after a documentary that was made in 1975, the year before I was born, about a boy who is of Polish descent who was having a heart operation. Have I told you the story before?
No, you're named after a film.
Have you not told you the story?
No.
He had a heart operation, and they showed him before he had this operation at school. And it's very interesting because in the 70s, everyone speaks an RP. And he's saying, I'm really looking forward to having the operation so I can go and play during break time with the other boys. He has to sit in and play Snakes and Ladders with this other kid who's got something wrong with him.
Your parents were hoping you'd talk like that.
Well, they were hoping. And they show... Anyway, my point is, I'm glad you're getting there. They show him going in, having his heart operation, and they show his parents saying goodbye to him. Then they show the operation, And he died, this boy, this operation, because they opened him up and didn't realise, this is before they could do all the scans and everything like that, that all that it was just a lot worse than they thought. And they show 50, it's an hour long panorama, I think it is, or I can't remember what it's called. And they show all the, there's no music, there's, the point is, it's a documentary without any frills, without any of that music. Even when you're watching a documentary now, you've got that orchestral music coming in, you've got the cuts, you've got the sophisticated,
the cinematic
thing.
Equivalent of a high sugar diet, isn't
and
it?
And that has become into, that's come into things which are non, you watch every factual program, it's they say
I do voiceover on some of these factual programs and they're incredibly jump cutty. They will not hold on one story, they'll jump to the next one and reiterate stuff all the time. So, you know, so to remind you what's happening. And like,
but it's very rare you see a document, I saw a made-for-TV documentary. I only saw this because I told a story to my friend who works at the BBC, found it in the she found it in the archives.
So why are you named after this boy who died on television?
My parents wanted me to do they thought he was such a lovely child and it was such a nice name.
They wanted his name to live on.
Yeah. So,
you.
But people think I'm Polish.
Wow.
And that's what used to be quite exotic.
Do you ever feel like you're letting down the memory of that boy?
Yeah. A little bit, yeah. Yeah, it's really harrowing. But it that shows you how TV has changed. And I think that TV has TV leaked into film when this concentration span
thing? Oh, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. I mean, and TV's become more influential in terms of, you know, cinematic. As the cameras have got cheaper and more portable. TV started to look like film and films started to look like TV and they definitely bled into each other, definitely.
The next big thing is, of course, 4K, if you've not heard of that, which is, you thought HD, sort of standard definition TV, and HD, if you think of HD as one, you times that by four, that's a 4K. So a lot of the cinemas release, they're making them 4K ready so they can put on, and House of Cards is a good example, they're going to stream that 4K.
Cool. Well, paid for by a streaming company, so presumably they'll be shooting what suits them to stream.
Well, it's, I mean, we're going a bit off topic and off film now, but I think it's going to affect how, I mean, Netflix is a big film, a lot of people are watching films on Netflix,
and
they're making their own
content.
I saw The Short Game, which is a film on Netflix, I found really boring, about young golfers, so don't bother watching that. But they made House of Cards, of course.
Yes.
And Google, who are going to be YouTube, you can buy films on YouTube now. Google, this is really technophobic, they've invented, when you make a film or you put anything on YouTube, you put it in this code called H.264 normally, which is a sort of codec that you put in. Google have made their own codec, so that called VP9, which can stream half the amount. So, say you're downloading a big file.
Yeah. It'll be half the size.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that means you can get better quality in your screen, and that will lead to laptops with better quality.
Going back to Terminator 2, I think Google is most likely to be the Cyberdyne Systems that destroys the world.
Yeah.
Have you seen they've bought up Boston Dynamic, who is a military robotics company? Google have bought them. Why?
Well, my girlfriend's a web specialist,
right?
And she has noticed, and she works at who cares if it's off
Terminator
topic?
2. It's on Terminator 2.
She does all this sort of trying to get websites up to the heart. If you go on the first page of the Google search, it's worth millions to your company to go on there. And they've got keywords, and it keeps on changing. So she's really aware of how it's, people are employed to work out how to get your website up there, because that's so, everyone just Googles something. You say Google's become a phrase. I heard two old people saying, oh, I don't know what to do. Google it. Yeah. Google
it's
it, Maureen.
It's in the dictionary now. It's in the dictionary.
Yeah. No, she's noticed that words that she's writing in her emails that she sends to people, she's getting adverts related to the words that she's
written
in her emails.
Of course,
so they're reading your emails and advertising on the back of that.
Well, computers are. People aren't reading your
Google
emails.
Google is.
So
the end of the world is night.
No, but they've got the Skynet-sized brain, the internet, the Google swarm, and they've bought up robots. So they're just going to put those two together and we're doomed.
Well, you can't afford to buy a house anyway. Anyway, go back to films. I caught up on a few films that people have mentioned on the podcast recommended from last year. One was Mud, which was the Matthew McConaughey film.
What's it about?
So it's two boys living in a sort of watery part of America.
Watery part?
Florida. They're going out on a boat. It's somewhere like, is it Louisiana? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of area.
Louisiana Delta.
I'm really ignorant on this. I really apologise to American listeners. And they're out on their boat, and they're quite from poor. They live on houseboats. They're quite poor sort of families. They find Matthew McConaughey on this island. He's basically escaped from prison.
Right.
And he's on the run. And they decide to help him try and build this boat out there. Meanwhile, the girl that he tries to get them to mesh is the woman that he's in love with. It's just a story about friendship between these two kids and this Matthew McConaughey and their lives and what their relationships and their family. I really enjoyed it. I think I didn't think it would break into my best films of 2013. It's a good film. It's a bit different. And I think Matthew McConaughey's been nominated for an Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club. We talked about this before. Yeah. Has suddenly become like a superstar.
Well, he stopped doing films like Failure to Launch and stuff, and actually started doing interesting characters.
But he was, I remember seeing, I first saw him in Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, well, he started off doing that, wasn't he? He started off being really interesting and then sort of became hunky leading man who did perfume commercials, and he's hopefully come out of that phase and he's doing interesting films again.
So it's good. I enjoyed Mud, and I also watched Blackfish, which is a documentary which you recommended, which I thought your analysis of that was spot on. That is a really fascinating documentary, but
You just left me with a slight bitter taste of polemic about it at the end.
Yeah.
Where I suddenly felt like, how much can I trust you're telling the full story? But it was a really good documentary. Like, fascinating. I recommend anyone go see it.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just the level at which I'd always assumed this sort of stuff was regulated and controlled and just isn't at all. You know, they can literally just steal a wild animal, put it in a shed, and then tell people what is they're supposed to do with it, employ people and just let them swim around with it.
Yeah.
And without any sort of regulation or anything. Yeah. It's incredible.
It's a fascinating watch if you fancy a documentary. Well, that'll do, won't it?
That'll do for this week. We will be back next week.
Unless Google's taken over.
Yeah. Google's a less good name. Skynet is sort of more sinister, isn't it?
But it's strange how what were the left-wing companies, Apple and Google, are now becoming the monsters.
Yeah, yeah. Microsoft will have to come back from the brink. Microsoft and McDonald's will have to come back to stop them.
But Microsoft sounds like a bygone era, doesn't it? Even now, yeah, you say Microsoft sounds really... Anyway, we're just
prattling on. We'll be back next week with more films. Keep watching the films.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.